Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today we are going to talk with three different quilt makers, people who write books, do marvelous applique, and design fabric. It's going to be just an incredible show. I'm always excited to meet people, and some of these people are new to me. First on, we have Amy Ellis. Amy is an author. She's also the community builder behind Amy's Creative Side. That's her website. She was featured this year as one of Orofil's Designer of the Month for 2012. And I'm just very excited because she also has a new book coming out. So we're going to hear all about what's going on with Amy. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing great. It's so exciting to have you on and hear about what's new. You've got Bloggerfest stuff going on, don't you?
Yeah, in just a couple of weeks, the Bloggers Quilt Festival will be up and running. So it's our, I think it's the 7th or 8th, maybe. I can't keep track anymore. Edition. We've been doing it since 2009.
Wow.
Every fall and spring.
This is at your site. It's all one word, amyscreativeside.com. Tell me how you started and why you started the Bloggers Quilt Festival.
Well, I just really love the community online, and I wanted to find a way to just bring everyone together and just share the stories of our quilts, which everyone does online a lot of times already, but just to give everyone a place to connect in one spot.
Now, you have sort of the feature event, which is like once a year, right? And then you have individually, you feature different bloggers.
Yeah, actually, it's twice a year in the fall and spring. And then every week I feature just a different blogger that either was nominated by a friend or sometimes I'll just pick a few if I'm running low on nominations. But quotes that catch my eye and I'm sure people want to know more about. So
what goes on during the twice a year, the Bloggers Quilt Festival? What do people do? How do they sign up? What are they going to do when they come to your blog? What are they going to see?
Sure. There's called a linky, which is a blog term, but it's a place to put in your own URL for your blog, linking to a specific post that you wrote for the festival. And so then with that, a little picture of your quilt shows up on my blog, and it gives everyone a chance to go visit. And then there's also prizes. I have sponsors that donate prizes for anyone that enters, and I just randomly pick numbers to coordinate. I don't, there's no favoritism, so.
Right. The random number picker, as we all
yes.
know it. Know and love on the internet. But people can come and just read the stories about the quilts. They don't have to have a blog, right?
Absolutely. There's lots and lots of inspiration, so. And some are first quilts, and some are, you know, their 200th quilt, who knows, but it's for everyone. There's no level required or anything. It can be your first quilt. So it's fun. It's a fun way to connect.
Yeah. How many people generally do a post during the festival? What has been your average? Have you noticed?
Yeah, it's about 650 to 700.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty big. It's a lot of activity.
It is. That takes a little while to go, but it's always there. Do you have like a link to that part on your blog so people can go reference it later?
I do. I have a whole page devoted to Bloggers Quilt Festival, and on that page I have all of the festivals listed. So it's always there. You can always come back and visit. It's not just during the 1 week.
Oh, that's good, because I'm not sure that we could get through that many in 1 week.
I know I couldn't.
And then often you yourself, this is happens during the trade show, so you yourself are off and you don't even get to look at them till you come home because you're out
right.
at the trade show.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, there's so much activity about market online as well, it coordinates with the time that we're away. And when I first started doing it, I was not yet an author, and so it wasn't a big deal. But I still like to keep it there. I just schedule everything and answer emails as I can. So
yeah, it's great fun. It is really a lot of fun. I like to go back afterwards and look through and go visit different people that I haven't met before. That's what's so exciting.
Yeah, there's always someone new to meet. So, and I've, you know, people have told me after the fact, I started my blog so I could participate, you know, and they're excited to be able to participate finally instead of just reading about them all.
Instead of just reading. Have you noticed since you started, I mean, we've both been blogging for a while. Have you noticed that there are just so many more quilters blogging now than, you know, even like 3 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. And it varies. Like, there's a huge demographic. It's, you know, all the way from a young mom that's stay at home looking for just a community to grandmas that love sewing for their grandkids. And so it takes all sorts. It's fun.
Yeah, that I think that is the amazing part, is that you don't, you know, people don't have to be even that tech savvy to do a blog. They're very
not
easy.
At all. Yeah.
So I bet people ask you sometimes, how do I start a blog? Do you...
I've heard that a few times, yes.
Yeah.
I know. That's all.
It just jump in with both feet, right? It just is all about the content. You know, you can make it pretty later. You can just throw your quilts up there and share them. It's pretty easy.
Right.
So you have a new book. It's going to be out soon, and it's a follow-up to your first book, Modern Basics, and now it's Modern Basics 2. Yay!
Yay!
tell me a little bit about what will be in your book.
There's 14 projects, and there's solids and geometric prints and really simple designs, and then there's some more intricate. I wanted there to be a little bit of a challenge or a learning moment in the book where people that maybe haven't made flying geese before could, you know, take on that challenge without it being too much of a challenge, because they're not that hard, and feel confident in the quilt that they make. So there's all sorts of fun ones in there. I'm looking forward to seeing what people make with them.
So this is really taking it from the next level up, from the beginning quilter to a little bit more advanced techniques and designs.
In some of them, yes. Others are really just quick strip piecing, or there's even a little bit of improv in one of them. So there's a little bit of everything.
So did you have any kind of challenges while you were working on this? Was there something that sticks out that you were like, oh my gosh, you know, will this ever work out?
Let me think. It's been a while since I was working on it. There was one quilt, actually it's the quilt on the cover. The blocks just turn a little bit differently than, and I designed it, but even differently than what I have done in the past. And so it's kind of a puzzle to put it together. And I think I had planned on making it bigger. Mm-hmm. And then some of the blocks that I made are still up, you know, upstairs, stashed away because they went together the wrong way. And I was done ripping them apart. I had already taken it apart once and couldn't get it straight. So, it happens.
Yeah. Real life. So, see, it happens to the authors, too. It's like, okay, I think this quilt is done.
I think I worked on it just too many late hours, probably. But so I made sure to add a few extra warnings in there. You know, take note of your layout and make sure you're watching.
And you quilt with children at home often. What is your youngest child at home right now?
My boy is 5, and he goes to kindergarten in the morning for, it's like 2.5 hours. I tell people it doesn't really count.
Yeah.
I just barely get myself together, and it's time to go get him from school.
Right.
But then my oldest is 12, and there's 4 altogether.
Are any of them sewing or quilting now? Are they, you know, getting inspired because you have fabric and everything around the house?
Yeah, actually, a couple of summers ago, we spent each week we would work on a different project together. And so by the end, each of them had made their own quilt top, mostly from layer cakes, just big squares they sewed together. Mm-hmm. But they love fabric. And of course, well, I don't want to be a sewer like mom when I grow up, but yeah. they all want to make quilts right now. So
yeah.
It'll come back to them eventually. I'm not worried.
No. You just tell me about Sewing Summit. You were just there. Was it really fun? Did you teach?
I did teach. It was a blast. I got to teach precision piecing, which is not all that precise or all that advanced, I guess. It was more just beginnings of piecing, and then we did some half-square triangles and just trying to get our points matching up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my tips for that, and just help, you know, build their confidence. So
that's fun. Wow, yeah. That was the second or third year for that event. So it's
a second year.
Okay, great, mm-hmm. great. And were there a lot of classes going on? That takes place in Utah, right?
Yeah, Salt Lake City. There were, five different classrooms, mm-hmm. and then eight different classrooms. So, yeah, there was a lot.
Great.
There's a few repeats, but there was a lot of options, so it was fun.
This has been wonderful, Amy. I'm so glad you came on to chat and tell us about the Bloggers Quilt Festival coming up at your site.
Thank you.
Yay. So tell everybody your website real quick before we're done.
amyscreativeside.com.
See how easy it is, folks. You can go out, join up, go create a blog just to be there. And then we're going to look for your new book, Amy.
Great. Thanks, Pat.
This has been a chat with Amy Ellis of Amy's Creative Side. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we are going to talk some applique with Martha Nordstrand. So this is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Be right back.
Do you have a recent project to share? Post a photo of your latest quilt project in our show and tell section at allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7 Series. Bernina, made to create.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
See Our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am so delighted to have Martha Nordstrand of More Quilts Please. Don't you love that site name, More Quilts Please? I think we could all say that all day long. She's going to talk to us about applique, my first love, and she has some incredible tips. Hi, Martha. How are you?
Hey. Nice to be with you, Pat.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. You love hand applique, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've loved it my entire life. It's always been my favorite technique. When I gave up the idea that all quilters had to do every type of quilting, I decided to just do what I love the most, and that is applique.
So what technique do you prefer for your hand applique, Martha?
Well, I tell you, Pat, I've been appliqueing for probably 40 years.
Ooh.
And I've tried every single, of the traditional methods.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, about 25 years ago, I slowly developed my own. So I'll tell you what I don't do. That'll be easy.
Okay.
I do not do the paper piecing. I don't do the English paper piecing. I don't do the freezer method or the needle turn. I've tried them all. And
okay.
I found that I could not control it. I couldn't get those beautiful fine points that I really love. And anyone that's done needle turn and shredded a point knows exactly what I'm
mm-hmm.
talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
So I developed my own technique about 20 years ago with the help of a dear friend who was a fabulous miniature quilt artist. Many of your listeners will know her name. It was Jessie Harrison.
Mm.
And she won, at Houston every year with her little miniature quilts. And, of course, all the other shows. But she was a real influence with me in developing this technique. So basically what I do that's different is I turn all of the edges, and we'll get into that a little bit later, how I do it. So I create the entire design first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Before I applique it down. Then if I don't make the mistakes, if you start with needle turn and you start with a leaf over on one side of your block and you start with the leaf on the other side and you work towards the middle
mm-hmm.
and hope and pray that it meets, and sometimes it doesn't. So what I've done is I've created this new technique of creating, it's called whole unit. So you
okay.
make the whole flower, including leaves, everything, and then you can audition, Pat, on any background you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it on a shirt, a blouse, a purse, or on your block. You can actually center it, so you're not going to make a mistake there. So that's basically the technique that I use. It's my own.
So you actually have all your edges turned under then?
They're all turned under, ready to
okay.
go.
And you do a lot of more intricate design work. Is that
yes.
correct, Martha?
Right. Yes.
So you have a lot of pieces when you're working, and that precision is important for your work.
Very, very important. Some of the roses that I've done may have 12 pieces or 13 little
mm-hmm.
tiny pieces. And with
yeah.
my technique, you can do that, and it's no fail. There's no way that you're going to fail. So when I teach it, I tell people that want to sign up for my classes, it doesn't matter what level of applique you are at, because
mm-hmm.
we're all going to start at the same level. They're going to learn a whole new technique from the beginning.
And now one of the things you told me is that you like to experiment with different sort of tools, and one of them being a screwdriver.
Yes. In fact, I call it the great screwdriver glue stick caper. So what I do is I use label paper as my template. It goes on top of the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
I use and teach how to how to use windows, and we know that term, but very few people have really shown us how to really get the best from using a window, which, you know, it looks like it's the finished piece. So I use windows, and I use label paper on top.
So let me just step back 1 second. For those who have no idea what window means, you're actually taking, like, the leaf, and you have it cut out the final size, and you lay it over fabric to audition where you want to make it from. Okay.
Right, and I usually make those on cardstock. Mm-hmm. In fact, Pat, I take a whole sack of windows with me every time I go to a fabric store. So I audition fabric with my windows. So you see me running around the store with these little pieces of paper. And I have bought some of the most, I don't know if I can say this on radio, but some of the most butt-ugly fabric you've ever seen. Because with a window, I was able to capture a beautiful leaf or a bird's wing or, you know, a rose petal that looks like the aphids have been chewing on the edge or whatever.
That's excellent, Martha, to actually take those with you. I had never thought about doing that.
Uh-huh.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And when I create, like, say it's a rose of, you know, a rose bouquet, I'll take the whole thing with me to a fabric store and I audition backgrounds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because nothing's been stitched down yet, you see.
Yeah.
So what I do is I turn the edges with a tiny screwdriver, you know, those little cheap sets that you see in the stores that really aren't worth anything as screwdrivers, but they're wonderful for turning edges. And I use the flat edge for straight edges, and the little Phillips makes beautiful curves.
Ooh.
And I use glue sticks and I apply that on the wrong side, take my little screwdriver and turn the edges over. And I can get a tiny 1/8 of an inch seam.
Wow.
And it holds.
That's a small seam. Yeah, tiny, tiny. And with your smaller shapes, that's important that you're not putting a lot of bulk in that.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
So that's basically what I, you know, the way that I do it.
Oh, that is so cool. And then you teach, do you teach all over the place?
Yes.
Do you teach a few?
I love that. I have a very strong conviction that the guilds of this country are the lifeblood of quilting. And if we didn't have those wonderful guilds all over, we would not have the wonderful quilting that we have today, because they're the ones that feed it.
I agree. Amazing.
Yeah, they're out there at those stores buying fabric, and they're taking classes, and they're bringing all of us in to teach them something new, and they're the ones that really are the lifeblood. So I love teaching, and I love teaching in small groups, and I love teaching at Guilds.
And just to give your website again, it's morequiltsplease.com.
Yes.
So tell me about bias making, because with all of the beautiful flowers you do, you have to make a lot of bias, I'm sure.
Tiny, tiny, tiny stems. And I can make a stem that is the width of a piece of yarn.
Wow.
And that is with the edges turned. Shall I try to describe to all your listeners how I do it?
Sure, give it a shot. Why not?
Sure.
And
of course, listeners out there, feel free to email me anytime. I am really good at answering any questions you have about this, and I can even send you a little, graphic drawing on how to do it. Okay, so basically how I do it is you start always with a nice piece of bias. So I'll take a 12 by 12 piece of fabric and cut it, you know, on the bias. So I get a nice, beautiful bias edge. And I turn it on the wrong side. Mm-hmm. And on the bias edge, I carefully apply a little tiny, tiny stream of glue. And we can get into glues later, Pat, because there's only one that I really recommend that works well. But anyway, and then you take your flat edge screwdriver, the little tiny one, and you turn that edge over.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me so far?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay, now I've got that nice smooth edge. It's turned over, and the glue stick grabs the fabric, so it's not going to distort the fabric as you're doing this. It literally holds the fabric for you. Then when I'm all the way down my bias edge, I take my glue stick and I put a little more on top of that turned edge, and I turn it once more.
Okay. Yeah.
So then after that's set for, you know, maybe a couple of minutes, I take a fine pair of scissors. I've got some old embroidery scissors that I use just for this. And I turn them on the edge and I clip it really close to the edge.
Okay.
And there you've got it. It's a perfect stem.
Yeah.
And then you can take your fingers and work it so that you you have that cut edge underneath.
Excellent. Excellent.
Now, if your readers want to know how to train bias tips, that's even more fun.
Now, actually, before what I want to do first, Martha, because we're getting close to the end, is
I know.
We could go on for days here.
We could.
You know, this is awesome material. But I did want to congratulate you on being the designer of the beautiful yellow rose quilt for the International Quilt Association raffle this year.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
And now you and several ladies did all the stitching, right?
Well, I I did basically most of the applique. I did have help from a dear friend of mine, but I would say that I probably did most of it. And then this, we had it done by a beautiful, beautiful machine quilter, and so she did all the quilting.
And that's going to hang in Houston at the festival this
year.
Raffle tickets will be sold. It'll be amazing.
And I hope I win it.
Back?
I want it back.
Okay, so Martha, when you go to a show, just before we're done here, when you go to the show, what kind of quilts are you personally drawn to when you go in?
Well, of course, I love the applique, but I love the quilts that I know that I can't make. And Pat, I am terrible at piecing, so I admire these wonderful piecers. In fact, I've got a friend who teaches quilting, Stevie Graves, who loves to take some of my tops that I have put together to show what not to do.
Oh.
So I guess I love them all, but I love to look at the quilts that I know that I could not possibly make.
Martha, this has been so wonderful to have you on and give us all these incredible tips. This has been fantastic.
Good.
So everybody go and visit Martha at morequiltsplease.com. And if you want fine applique, give her a call. We'll be right back after the break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Deb Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Vasek Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Hasn't this been fun? You learn about something like a place to go find 600 new bloggers this month, or you can try absolutely fabulous intricate applique with Martha's techniques. So we are now going to move on and do some fabric chat with Jennifer Paganelli of Sisboom. Jennifer does absolutely delightful fabric. It's colorful, it's fresh, and it's just incredible. I love her fabric. So she's going to come on and talk to us about style and fabric and how to maybe use this fabric in some different ways. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, Pat. So nice to hear your voice.
I know. It's so good. We haven't chatted like voice chat for a while, have we?
It's amazing we can be at the same international quilt market and not get even a sighting on one another, you know? So this time we're going to do it.
We are. That is just, we have made a plan. So, so Jennifer, tell me a little bit of your backstory as far as how you got involved in the quilt industry and fabric design. I mean, have you sewn stuff all your life?
You know what? I am a hand sewer and never, I remember I took a class at the College of the Virgin Islands, and it was me and all these amazing, wonderful women, and I just failed miserably. I would rather, with my machine, I have three machines, and they're always going, and I'm either making garland or I'm making quilts on top of wallpaper. I've just never... I find fabrics very slippery, obviously, and I love to, and I break a lot of machines, but I just love to sew to wallpaper and just crazy quilt my way through life. I love it.
You're funny. So tell me, your background is you actually grew up, did you grow up your entire childhood in the Caribbean or just part of your childhood?
No, we moved there when I was 11.
Okay.
And then we stayed there. My dad died about 3 years ago, and he was still living there. So we go back a long ways.
So what do you think about the Caribbean colors, lifestyle, and how your life has sort of evolved since you spent so many years there?
You know, it's an interesting the sun gives you a sense that everything is okay. Can we say that?
Yes.
I mean, whenever the sun shines, I really feel okay. And I think when you grow up in a place where the sun shines pretty much every day, the rain may come through for 6 or 7 minutes, but it's really sunny, that you kind of forget how difficult it is or was to live on an island that was basically somewhat self-sufficient, not a lot of commerce. Tourism was the only means of industry. And, there was problems on the island, and there was some violent episodes, so tourism sort of slacked off. Mm-hmm. And I would really mean this when I say that color and the sun gave us a really sense that we were in denial. We really lived a very good life, and color was just... so comforting. Pat, a lot of people say to me, your stuff is so happy. And I'm always like, I can't believe it elicits an emotion, but it does. Color elicit emotion. So I'll
and
leave
your,
it at that.
Your fabric lines for Sis Boom are just intensely rich. They lean towards, they're clear colors, they're bright, and, and happy, I think all quilters love to say the word happy. You want to have happy fabric,
right.
That fuchsia and orange and green together. I mean, for you, that's like second nature. Is that, at least it looks like it from your fabric. Is that sort of how you feel about it?
It definitely is. It's just, I just am working on a line now, and, something wasn't right, and it just didn't have enough light in it for me. And, I've been called granny chic, and someone once said your colors are too aggressive. And, for me, it's just what's in me. I'm not trying to be bold or to be individual. I'm really not. It's just what comes out of me.
Right. Right, and I think that that's always incredible when I talk with fabric designers. It doesn't matter what their color palette is. It's like you really don't have a choice. This is sort of what you create because it's you.
Right, and I've tried to be like other designers. There's other designers that I love and admire, and I can't get close to what they do. So we each, I think that there's something to the fact that we all have gifts, and we're all you know, good with our gifts. And
so when you started your company, where did you come up with the name Sis Boom? How did you pick that?
Sis Boom is a childhood name. And it's a nickname that my twin brother nicknamed me. Mm-hmm. And so it just stuck. And it was Sis Boom forever, Sissy and Sis Boom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think everybody has a sissy in their family. And mine just went the way of Sis Boom. And it's funny because, you know, people say Sis Boom Ba. And I have no problem with that. But there was no Ba, you know.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about fabric design. When you decided to design fabric, or let's just talk about what you're designing, you know, now or the late last collection even. You know, what is your process, Jennifer? You know, how do you get going to put a collection together?
Well, I think, you know, also that anybody that is an aspiring designer will enjoy the Downey video that we'll talk about. But that was a real glimpse into how I work with fabrics. I have about 2,000 vintage fabrics. I take out of them what I want. And because copyright free and them, you know, most of mine are 100 years or older, I'm able to take images from that, extract them from that, you know, use a light box and trace and put the other components in. And, you know, I kind of just set it up on a light box, and then I transfer everything over to the computer. And then I start working on the designs in the computer to, you know, really manipulate them and smooth them out or color or take out color. The computer, between Photoshop and Illustrator, all your tools are there, you know.
So when you are even a step back from the actual physical drawing of what you're doing, if you do you have like a journal or design board, you know, how do you get the idea for the line going that you want to have this particular item and, you know, that particular item in it?
Well, you know, I really try, and, you know, a lot of us are familiar with Donna Wilder. She mentored me when I first came to Westminster and Free Spirit and really showed me how to pull in a collection. And, you know, everything from big and bold pattern down to smallish patterns. Within the line, there should be a scope of fabrics that diminish. So that there's more freedom, you know, so it's like having, well, it's just easier to work with. So I always start with a big scale, and I always love to have a graphic in there. And, you know, it's really funny when the line is gone, people are still scavenging for the graphics, you know, because they're great. They're just great elements to have for anything that you make, a quilt, handbag, anything you make, the graphics or the geometrics, they love. And
so when the graphics would be like for Happy Land, you have like diamonds.
That's right. That's right. And I'm telling you, when the line is off the market, you know, when there's very little, for years, they will still be looking for the diamond print. I think it's just elementary to my designs is to try to have a graphic in there. And then, of course, Superfly, which was very big graphics, and the zebra, which never seems to it's the zebra, chevron, and leopard never seem to, you know, chevron's new on the quilting stage, but they never seem to, we never tire of them.
Oh, I know. And your zebra prints, you know, these are not wimpy prints. Yellow, orange, hot pink. I like it.
And they're chunky. They're chunky. Yes. So when you're cutting it up, you're getting something a little bit different than you would with the more narrow.
Well, so when do you name your lines after or before or sort of in between? You know, how does it usually work?
You know what, before we send them into Free Spirit, they have to be named, colored, and you have to have your logo ready for the salvage. So they've really, over the 8 years I've been working there, they've really become much more systematic in how we turn in our designs and what they expect from us. You know, I used to just hand things in, and Donna was great, you know, but, you know, there's more competition, there's more streamlining, and so we're doing that. And So everything has to be ready before you send it in. And in terms of strike-offs, they strike off everything you have, and you get, I think, maybe two or three tries if you want to get something right. But they really don't like to go into retakes at all. You know, it's not easy getting it right the first time, but you have to.
Yeah,
you don't have a choice.
So you have someone that works with you for your graphics part of it?
Yeah, I have my assistant, Madeline, who is just incredible. She works with me 2 days a week. And she is really the technical person behind SysBoom. And, you know, I do all my designs for Free Spirit, but when it comes to putting it on product and working with our licensees, she's great at that. You know, she can put it on a tray. She can put it on, any design that I can think of, she can put my designs on. And so she's been just amazing to have, and I feel really lucky to have her. That's been a real asset to the company. And, you know, you try to grow, but, you know, we're still very small, but we want to, you know, little by little, we're taking, you know, we want to be big. That's really the bottom line, you know. Cover the world.
Yeah. That's right. We're going to take over the world with all of our fabric. We're going to take it
out there.
And you, before we go on the break, tell me a little bit about the laminates and what you've done with the laminates from your lines.
Oh, I'm telling you, the new laminates in Happy Land are just incredible. And I love the stuff. I tell everybody this, you know, when we're taking photographs of all our work, we should have a backdrop, you know? And so what I do is I mount canvases with the laminate, or I put it on the wall, just so that I can have a photographic back.
Oh.
And it just really illuminates, you know, especially with a designer's products, obviously, it brands it just a little bit more. And I always suggest that to people because it's so easy to do. I buy big canvases, and as long as they're 45, I can stretch a 45 width over it. I'm good to go.
Ooh, neat. Never thought about making it. You could even just hang it up as art.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a little break, Jennifer.
All right.
And when we come back, we are going to talk about Jennifer's commercial she did with Downey, or her interview with Downey, because it is fascinating. We'll be right back.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Thank you. Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm talking to Jennifer Paganelli of SisBoom. So, Jennifer, when you sent me the link for the Downey interview at YouTube, I was like, oh my gosh, that is the coolest thing ever. How did you get interviewed for that? That was incredible.
Well, you know, it's an interesting story. Someone, I guess the one of the recruiting businesses for the episode had a casting call on Facebook, and a friend of mine knew someone and forwarded it to me and said, you'd be perfect for this. They're looking for people that are passionate about fabric. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting, and, you know, filled out the form and sent it in, and the next thing I know, I'm on a casting call, and it was really sort of surreal because, you know, I got all dressed up and went in the studio with my books and my portfolio, and all of a sudden I'm there with these beautiful models, and I'm like, are you guys passionate about fabric too? But from what I understand in New York City is models always go on casting calls. They really don't even know sometimes what they're promoting. They just go on the casting calls. So I thought that was really funny. And, you know, I casted for it. They filmed me, and you know, I hoped that I would hear from them, but I didn't know, you know, who I was up against. And they were great. They called me like a week later and said, you know, we'd love to you to be one of the artists. I think there were three artists chosen for the internet commercials, and I was one of them, and there's two others that, unfortunately, I never heard of. They're lovely gals.
I think they're fashion designers. You know, they're in the, aren't they clothing designers, fashion
clothing? Yes.
Yeah.
And they were really intrigued by what they came up and they saw what we were doing here, and they just loved everything. And then they sent a film crew of, like, you know, 16 people. We'd never seen anything like it. You know, we'd been in magazines, but... never this kind of film, and it was very exciting. They brought a makeup person and the whole deal. So I was a princess for a day, and it was lovely. The film crew was great. Everybody was great.
Well, I really like. I have a link on my blog for the commercial, and I think you have on yours as well, so people can see it. But did they take any of your artwork and actually put it on their product?
No, not, you know what, that's, they use in-house people for that, but it's interesting because I think Orla Kiley just did something for another manufacturer, did the bottles.
Okay.
So, you know, that's something I would love to do, so hopefully they're listening.
And what I really liked about the interview they did with you, Jennifer, is they really got the essence of you and how you work and your environment, how you work with your assistant, and how you just go through the process. It's just glorious. It's so well done.
It's really well done. I was so happy with it. And, you know, obviously, Pat, we're always, you know, as a business owner, you're trying to look for opportunities to do more film work or whatever, TV or whatever. So it was really nice to get that and to be able to use it to hopefully find more opportunities, you know, because I really enjoyed it. I don't know what capacity I would be good at, but I really, really enjoyed it. I feel like we really connected with the viewer, and it was really an amazing process.
She's a movie star, Miss Jennifer.
So we
wanted to talk. Yes, yeah, so we wanted to talk a little bit about how you like to put fabric in places other than a quilt. And you were telling me about decoupaging suitcases, which there were some in the video that was done, and I've seen them on your website and your blog as well. So tell me a little bit about how you decoupage a suitcase.
Well, it's wonderful, and it's so easy. And I tell you, I travel with them to country living fairs and events, and they would think I was giving candy away at my booth, the way they come over to look at these suitcases. And when they find out how easy they are. And what I love, too, is that Craftsy, and I'm really hoping some other online sellers as well as store sellers get on board with these pre-cuts, because they're just so ideal for doing a project like this. And basically what you do is I like an old suitcase. You know, obviously you could scruff it up with sandpaper and to get it to adhere better and, you know, definitely clean it up, smell it, make sure there's nothing dead inside, because that happened. And then what you do is you sponge brush Mod Podge onto areas of the suitcase that you're going to be doing. So I'd Mod Podge a little area and then paste down my fabric scraps or pre-cuts, and then move around the suitcase that way. Because if you do the top all with Mod Podge and then you're laying your things down, it's going to dry. And then as I go around, I go over it with Mod Podge. So it's underneath it and over it. And not, you know, heavy, but not too heavy. And then I let it dry overnight, and I swear it's like waking up to a treasure. You know, it's so simple. And I do, I don't use a knife edge or anything like that. I just use scissors. I mean, if you look closely, you'd probably be, you know, abhorred at how I put things together. But as a statement piece or as something on, you know, your dresser or something, it's just a great conversation piece. And I would say it would look good with anyone's fabrics. It's just an appealing thing to do.
Now, when you're done, like, putting the Mod Podge down and then you put the fabric on top of that, then do you Mod Podge on top of the whole thing again as, like, a sealer?
You know what? I'm Mod Podging over it as I go. And then big sweeps, you know, to sort of integrate the areas of Mod Podge, you know. Yes. So it's a big sweep over everything.
Okay.
And then let that dry. And, you know, Mod Podge can be sticky. I don't know if the other people find that, especially in heat or that's
like
what
tacky,
I find.
Like after it dries?
I went over with a sealer. And, you know, Mod Podge Rocks, our girl at Mod Podge Rocks knows it's a medium sealer of some kind. And I think it was a spray. But that's the best way to do that. And I can't wait to see yours.
I know. I need to find the right suitcase. I don't have. It's like you need the old suitcases, don't you? Because they're not like the new ones that we're taking.
Oh yeah, yeah. Someone did a new one, and it looked great. But I would imagine it would be very slippery. I'd get frustrated, I think.
Yeah,
but I think your old suitcases are the best bet.
Yeah, I need to start. Maybe I can see if my mother-in-law has one somewhere.
Oh yeah, they're all in everybody's attics.
Yeah.
I can't see. Everyone says, "Oh my God, I have one of those."
I have one. So tell me about your newest book, Happy Home. I love it.
Oh, I love it too. And I love that it shows the ability. You know, we're always looking for new markets with these 45-inch width fabrics, and I really embrace this whole lifestyle home. I tell you, you know, my concern was that they would fade, or we've had canopies up over our bed for maybe 3 or 4 years, and they look brand new. I'm not kidding. And, you know, we really use them in a very, you know, lifestyle way. And, you know, we do poofs, and we even upholster our furniture in it. And, you know, I thought it was going to be sort of fun and temporary, but they have held up and they still look great.
So are these fabrics a little bit heavier weight cotton, or are they?
No, they're your 45-inch width quilting cotton.
Okay. They're just, okay. So when you do a lot of clothing too. So like in this book,
like,
even though it's got home stuff, you also have like all the models wearing outfits made from your patterns.
Absolutely. And you know, Carla and I really are of the mindset that quilting weight is great for clothing. You know, there's some people that contest that, but I love them. They're comfortable. And, you know, we do a lot with them.
Yeah, because you actually wear them yourself, because I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love my tunic. I love everything that we design.
and Carla Krim is just the best at engineering them. And everybody, I've never heard, you know, there may be a blog dedicated, I don't know, but we've never had a bad word about them. You know, they're all thoroughly tested and they're very candid. You know, this is how you do it. And everyone seems, you know, we call them quilter friendly, Pat, because a lot of quilters will say, no, I don't really sew, you know, right. And then they try one of these and they can't believe they can make a dress.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, when I go and teach or do presentations, I'm always asking people, where did they learn to sew and did they start with clothing? And, you know, there are a lot of quilters who have never sewn clothing. So it's important to give them more information than somebody who has done it in the past.
Yes, and if any of your listeners want to try one, have never tried a PDF, just email me at jennifer@sisboom.com and we'll send you a free one because we want to encourage people to try it. It's once they do it, there's very little reservation about purchasing another one. That's how much they love it.
And so with your clothing, when you put the quilting weight cottons in it, is there any, do you always recommend that they wash it first, the fabric, any tricks or anything that they need
to know? We don't wash beforehand and the shrinking is so minimal. They've really worked out these cottons and they've, you know, sized them so well. And when I say sized, I mean, the sizing on the fabric itself.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I know a lot of people who make apparel that would never think of not washing it. But we don't wash here, and we've never had anybody say, oh, my God, it shrank to nothing. You know, and one lovely thing about them is they come out of the dryer ready to wear. But you got to catch it. You can't let it sit in the dryer. But that hot steam, you can just put it on a hanger and hang it over the door.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. You know, I haven't made any clothing in a while, Jennifer, but I think I'm going to try something. This has been just absolutely fabulous to have you on the show.
Oh, I would love to send you something. So please email me. The tunics are great. And print out your size. Most people think you have to print out the whole, you know, 1,000 pages. It's just your size. And then, you know, you cut it and tape it together and you're good to go.
Good to go. Well, this has been great, Jennifer. It's Jennifer Paganelli of sisboom.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pat. Have a great evening.
Thank you very much. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week for an all-new show. Visit us online at allpeoplequilt.com. Check out our Facebook and our Twitter. We'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.